Exodus chapter 32, and I'll begin our scripture reading with the first verse of the chapter. Exodus 32, beginning in verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And he rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. And they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, which with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountain, and to consume them from off the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this thine anger against this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And in this and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and thou shalt inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people. Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both sides, on one side and on the other side they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, neither the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but it is the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it into powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink of it. Let us bow for prayer. as we approach God's Word this morning. Oh Lord God, how vulnerable are we, your children? How quickly we can turn aside. How rapidly our faith can fail. And we can turn to the beggarly elements of this world rather than looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, as we now look into your word, may you smite our hearts. May you convict us of our sin. May you make us wary of our failings. May you make us strong in Christ. May you refine us by your Spirit. Lord, may we be rebuked and convicted before your word. And may we be strengthened to stand. For Lord, we find in your word, let him that thinketh that he stand, take heed lest he fall. Bless your word to our hearts this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Our text this morning is that last verse of 1 John chapter 5. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, we're going to be kind of going back and forth because we're just using that one final verse out of 1 John. And in our previous studies of the book of 1 John, we didn't really cover that verse. And I was actually working on this message several weeks ago and now have the opportunity to preach it. And so, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's take that verse apart. We find that John here, as he comes to the very last book of the very last verse of the book of 1 John, he again addresses his hearers as little children. And we've seen previously that there are actually 7 times in this book when he uses this term, little children. It's a very tender term. It is a loving term. Because they are little children, they are dearly loved. And we observed before that John, who is writing this book, is the one who was the beloved disciple. He was the one who was loved. He knew the love of Christ. And that love which Christ had extended to him is now poured out on his hearers, little children. Dear ones, those that are precious to my heart, little children. These were souls over whom John had wept and prayed. They were souls that he had labored to instruct and rebuke. They were souls that he had loved. We often talk about a man's last words. What were the last words that a man ever said or a woman ever said? Or a parting message. Washington's farewell address is often pointed to as a milestone in the history of our country and a very important thing. Many times the last thing we say is the most important thing that we've ever said. And here, almost out of context, if you look at 1 John 5, and we're jumping out of context, don't misunderstand me. But this thought, keep yourselves from idols, in many ways it doesn't seem to really connect to everything else that is said, and yet as we look at the broad scope of 1 John, it is all connected, it all fits together. But here, John, the last thing he's going to say is, keep yourselves from idols, little children. Be careful of the danger of idols. Keep yourselves from idols, little children. Keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You see, little children are vulnerable. Children are easily led astray. Little children can be deceived. In this book of 1 John, in chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. Ye have heard the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Be careful, little children. There's going to be false teachers. There's going to be Antichrist. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Now, we prefaced our consideration of 1 John 5:21 by reading the account of the children of Israel who have just come out of Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea by a miraculous parting of the sea. They have seen Pharaoh's armies drown in the Red Sea. And all that has followed 10 plagues that came upon Egypt. They knew the night when they had light in their houses, and the Egyptians had not. If anyone should have been nailed to truth, it should have been the children of Israel. All the things they have seen, and yet how quickly they're ready to make a golden calf and say, these be the gods that brought us out of Egypt. This golden calf, this is it. And it's fascinating and frightening that they build this altar to it, they offer sacrifices to it, and then Aaron says, tomorrow is a sacrifice unto the Lord. And if you look in your King James there, it is all caps. Tomorrow is a sacrifice to Jehovah, and this is the way we're going to worship Him, by this golden calf that is brought us. If anyone should have known better, it should have been these children of Abraham that have just seen such miraculous delivery. And yet, God says to Moses, they quickly turned aside and corrupted themselves. And so we might say today, you know, Pastor, little children, keep yourselves from idols. I know that. I've got that. I understand that. But no. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Because if they could fall, they who had seen the parting of the Red Sea, they who had seen the mighty works of God, how much more vulnerable am I? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And Paul, in his address to the Corinthians, let me read the verses to you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let me read a... I was just going to read them in your hearing, but it's good for you to see them as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll read verses 1 through 7, and then make a few comments, and then we'll go down to verse 11 and 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The first verse of chapter 10 says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant how that all our fathers, that's talking about Israel, all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, notice it's capitalized, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, but they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. And we don't do damage to the text to say examples there. It means our warnings. These things were an example of those that failed, that fell. Take heed. Watch out. Let him that thinketh that he stand, take heed lest he fall. Now these things were our examples, the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Where have you heard that? Well, we just read those exact same words in Exodus 32, verses 6 through 8. But look down to verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things happened unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world has come, are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh that he stand, take heed lest he fall. And so, if they can fall, certainly we are vulnerable. Consider the perils of children. First of all, children are trusting. They accept what is told to them without question. I would venture to say that not all of the children of Israel were ready to worship a golden calf until the calf was made and the crowd went along and said, well, okay, our neighbors are saying this and those around us, they're accepting this. It must be okay. These must be the gods that brought us up out of Egypt. This must be it. Little children are vulnerable. Paul said to the Galatians that he marveled that they were so soon removed from the grace of God. Children, keep yourselves from idols. We are indeed little children. Little children are immature. Little children lack the maturity to pray things through. Paul said, I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for heretofore you were not able to bear it. Little children are impatient. The first verse we read there in Exodus 32 was, to paraphrase, where's Moses? When they saw that Moses tarried, they went into an immediate panic. They're a spiritual leader. We can't see him. Where is he? We don't know what's happened. Let's rush off to these golden calves. Just because they couldn't see the leader didn't mean he wasn't leading. He wasn't there. It's the scenario that I've used in an illustration many times before. The child whose mother walks around the row in the grocery store when the child isn't watching. The mother has not left the child, but suddenly the child goes into panic. I can't see her. And that's exactly what happened here. Little children, be careful. Be on guard. Keep yourselves from idols. Moses delayed coming down. Little children are drawn to the attractive. They're drawn to the beautiful. Oh, the calf is made of gold. And it's not just gold. It's shiny gold because it's just come out of the fire. It's just been polished by the heat of the fire. And not only that, Aaron has taken a graving tool, we read, and it has been shaped into this form. Ah, yes, I can see it. These be our gods which brought us up out of the land. How are we going to rush to that which appeals to our flesh? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life takes over, and suddenly we find our souls burning incense and making sacrifice and bowing down. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. But then we find in our text as well, there is personal responsibility here. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That is a personal responsibility that is placed on the little children. When we tell our children what they are to do, we expect our children to do what we tell them. Right? We expect obedience. When we tell our children to do a job, we expect them to do it. And when we tell our children, look out, be careful, don't touch, that's hot, we expect obedience. And we are not telling them those things to restrain them. We are not telling them that those things to break their will. We're not telling them those things to prevent them from some great pleasure that they want to enjoy. We are disciplining our children for their own welfare. Amen. For their benefit. For their personal safety. Here we have a warning for our spiritual benefit. For our spiritual welfare. For our spiritual safety. Little children, keep yourselves. Keep yourselves. Keep yourselves from idols. This word keep means to guard. It means to keep watch. It means to keep safe. It means to be on guard, to be aware. And it's interesting to notice how this word is used in Scripture. In Luke chapter 8, or chapter 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night." And it's the exact same word. It's the same word. They were keeping watch over their flocks. Why? Well, because there were wolves. But the time that the shepherds were in the field was in the time that the sheep would be lambing. There would be young lambs that were vulnerable. And there were bears and lions that David killed. There were dangers to the sheep, and so the shepherds were on guard. They weren't asleep in the field. The angels didn't wake them up, folks. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night when the angel appeared unto them. They were keeping watch because the sheep were sheep. The sheep were vulnerable. The sheep could be frightened and flee and break their legs in a stampede. The sheep could be eaten by predators. They could be stolen by thieves. So the shepherds were on guard. They were keeping watch. So children, be on guard. There's a roaring lion that will lead you to idols. There is a thief, Satan himself, who wants to steal you away from truth. There are false prophets. There are things all around you which will bring your soul to fright and cause you to run to anyone but Jehovah. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. This word also means to keep in safety. When Christ was ready to depart back to his Father, in John 17 and verse 12, Christ says, "While I was with them in the world, I have kept them in thy name. Those which thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition." And it's the same word. Jesus says, "When I was with them, I kept them. I kept watch over them, just as the shepherds kept watch over the sheep. While I was with them, I have kept them, and none is left but the son of perdition," and that was all in God's will and God's plan, that Judas be the betrayer, "but I protected them." Little children, protect, keep watch. It also means beware. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." And that word beware there in 2 Peter 3, verse 17, is the same word keep. Beware. Beware for your souls, little children, beware of idols. It means to guard. In Proverbs, Old Testament, different word, but same idea. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep yourselves, first thing. But we know that we're vulnerable because we're children. We know that we have responsibility before God, but how quickly we fall. But you know what else this word means? It means the same word. Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. When God is talking about the flood and the sparing of Noah, "Now unto him," I'm sorry, 2 Peter 2, verse 5, "and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person." It's that same word, keep. He saved Noah, the eighth person. He kept him alive. Little children, keep yourselves. You see, if we turn to idols, we can't say, "Oh, it was beautiful, and so I'm excused." We can't say, "Where's Moses? So I'm excused." We can't say, "Well, you know, my neighbor said it was okay." No. Little children, we have a personal responsibility to keep ourselves from idols. But then at this point, we need to consider, what's an idol? What is it that we're keeping ourselves from? Keep yourselves from idols. What constitutes an idol? Now, for our responsive reading this morning, we considered the the Ten Commandments that God has given us. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are given, because here we find the best definition of what an idol is and why God hates idols. To consider why God hates idols, we have to look at what is true. And so we're going to Exodus chapter 20, and I'll read verses 1 through 6. What constitutes an idol? What is this idol we're keeping ourselves from? Exodus chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the house of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Remember what they said about the golden calf? This is the God that brought us up. No. Jehovah says, I'm the Lord thy God. I'm the one that brought you up. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What is an idol? Well, the commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. An idol is anything that stands in the place of God. An idol is anything that stands between you and God. He is God. He is the one we worship. He is the one we bow down to. And anything that usurps His place is an idol. And that is exactly the downfall of Lucifer. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. I'll read them to you. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mouth of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, Lucifer's downfall was he put himself in the place of Jehovah. An idol, my friends, is anything in your life that is in the place of Jehovah. Anything that stands between you and your God is an idol. Little children, keep yourselves away. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul was warning about the coming of the son of perdition. And note how Paul describes the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 to 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The son of perdition, the coming Antichrist, he sets himself in the place of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that word before does not mean in the presence of me, but it means other than me, instead of me, in the place of me. And that's exactly what the problem with the golden calf was. They said, today, tomorrow is a feast of Jehovah. We're going to worship Jehovah. We're going to do what's right. This beautiful calf is how we're going to do it. This beautiful calf is going to stand in the place of Jehovah. This beautiful church building that we worship in is now our God. This beautiful icon that we have standing in the corner of a place of worship. This little Mary or whatever we have standing in our garden. All these things that so quickly intrude. Jehovah hates. Remember, the temptation of Christ. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And so, an idol is anything that stands in the place of God. But then, our text, our verse there in the Ten Commandments tells us, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You're not to make a likeness. Why were they upset and made the calf? Because they said they couldn't see Moses. You see, they were following Moses and not the God of Moses. They couldn't see Moses, and so they felt like Jehovah had forsaken them as well. Well, Moses hadn't forsaken them. Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments written by the very finger of God. And yet they so quickly turned aside. They had to see something. They were not content to walk by faith. They needed some beautiful representation to remind them of God or to stand in the place of God for them. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 15, take therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male and female, the likeness of any beast on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven when thou hast seen the sun, the moon, the stars, even all the hosts of the heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations under the earth. No graven image. No visible manifestation was seen on the mountain. But how quickly the visible manifestations of religion become to us as how quickly a cross on the wall of a church, which was put there with good intentions, but it becomes to us an icon. And we're looking always to a wooden cross rather than looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking to the outward trappings and manifestations of religion, which become to us nothing more than a golden calf. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Moses proclaimed, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah. And then finally there from Exodus 20, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. And here we find that Aaron makes an altar and they offer sacrifice before a golden calf. And they bow down and they worship the golden calf. And the golden calf was not Jehovah. How quickly we bow down to the elements of this world. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. The word amen means even so let it be. Yes, Lord, this is true. What application can we make to ourselves today? Our world is filled with people today who bow down to the idol of pleasure. Mm-hmm. And we, the children of God, are vulnerable ourselves to bow down to the God of pleasure. As my family and I drove today coming through Baltimore, we got to 395 that turns off to the city, and it's amazing how the traffic began to thin out. Because there were three airplanes flying over the stadium with banners, and people were rushing to the God of pleasure. Ah! We're going to have so much fun! God is made of pigskin. And they will bow down to it with reverence on this day. Little children, keep yourselves from the idol of pleasure.
don't ever let the things that you enjoy in this life become to you in the place of Jehovah. Don't let the pleasures of this life keep you out of the house of the Lord. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Many people bow down to the idol of priorities. And that falls right on the heels of the idol of pleasure. Well, yes, we love the Lord and we serve Him, but we're on vacation. Don't take a vacation from church. Don't take a vacation from Jehovah. What are your priorities? Well, you know, really, really need to be serving the Lord, but what a week. So much going on. So many things I have to do. Well, tomorrow's a feast of the Lord. You know, tomorrow's a feast of the Lord. You ever wonder why Aaron didn't say today's a feast of the Lord? Why he put it off to tomorrow? Tomorrow we're going to worship the Lord with our golden calf. No. Don't bow down to the God of priorities. Many people worship the idol of prominence or popularity. You just don't know the people I work with. If I talk about the Lord there, they're going to think I'm a nut. You know what? If I take a stand for Christ and righteousness in my workplace, I probably won't get that promotion. You know, the kids I play with, they know my family goes to church, but you know, when they take the Lord's name in vain, I just kind of, I don't tell them, hey, that's my Savior you're talking about. How we like to be liked. How we love to be loved. But you see, we are loved by Christ. And we are to love Him above all else. That is a priority. And so many people bow down to the idol of priority. Little children, keep yourselves. Many people bow down to the idol of provisions. Oh, I've just got to make more money. I've just got to advance. We've got to have a bigger house. We need a newer car. We've got to save for retirement. There's all these things. And, oh, these things. I've got to do all these things. And provision becomes our God. And our whole life is spent dedicated, working to build up a pile of things that moth and rust doth corrupt. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How often we bow down to the idol of provisions and it becomes our golden calf. And finally, there are many people who bow down to the idol of personalities. Are people. And I know, preachers have to alliterate, so I had to think about that. But people bow down to people. This person's my hero. My children. How I love them and I pour my life into them. But even our own family can become to us a golden calf. Stands between us and the service of Jehovah God. Little children, you who are vulnerable, you who are subject to all the temptations of this life, you little children have a responsibility. You have a God-given obligation. Guard yourself. Keep yourself. Beware. Protect yourself. Because all these things that are good in themselves, but how quickly they become our golden calf. And one concluding thought, let me read to you from 2 Kings 18 and verses 3 and 4. This is the testimony of righteous King Hezekiah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord.
according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves, and he brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto these days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Here was the brazen serpent that God had instructed Moses to make and put on a pole for the healing of the people when they were bitten by the serpents. And those that looked to the brazen serpent were healed. And in the New Testament, that very serpent is used as a picture of Christ. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And yet that very thing which was ordained of God in time deteriorated into nothing but an icon, an idol. But they began to burn incense too and called it Nehushtan until Hezekiah came and said, enough of this. And he broke it in pieces and disposed of it. May God teach us to search our hearts and lives to break down our Nehushtan and dispose of it. Little children, keep yourselves from the peace. Let us stand for prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the warnings of your word. Father, we thank you that not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Lord, we thank you that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. Father, make this short little verse profitable to our hearts today. May we be ever on guard for how quickly the idols take over our heart. Bless us, your people, we pray. In Jesus' name.